session with the aid of three scholars, issues relating to progressivism and the New Deal. I am Mark Kalthoff, chairman of this session, a member of the Philadelphia Society and of the faculty at Hillsdale College, where I currently serve as dean of faculty and am a member of the Department of History and Political Science. Many thanks to Bill Campbell for all his good efforts in putting together this program. I know from conversations with Bill over the past several years that he has been thinking about and planning for this day for a long time. So thank you, Bill. The slogan Ownership Society, as Bill mentioned to us last night, was put forward by President Bush in an effort to describe the aim of his domestic agenda. Knowing, as we do, that the purpose, or a purpose, of the Ownership Society is to foster the responsibility and diligence that is associated with the ownership of private property, one might inquire, why is there such a need to foster such responsibility and diligence, and why should it be the duty of the national executive to address this need in his domestic agenda? In considering these questions, the historian of the progressive era may be led to recall a little book that appeared a few years back by the historian Robert Wiebe called The Search for Order. There, Wiebe traces the decline of an ownership society in the face of an explosion of change brought on by late 19th century urbanization, immigration, and industrialization. Wiebe, of course, did not use the term ownership society. Rather, he offered the term island community to describe the localism that typified pre-industrial American life. Americans ordered their lives according to obligations and associations that obtained in the family, the church, the neighborhood, and local community. Hence, responsibility for health, for education, for family and personal welfare rested with these small local subsidiary institutions. But somehow, in the face of the changes and challenges brought on by the rise of urban culture, the limited liability corporation, swelling tides of immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe, Americans convinced themselves that the resources of the island community way of life was no longer adequate to the task of maintaining ordered liberty. Thus, in 1909, Herbert Croly, in his famous book, The Promise of American Life, wrote, "Traditional American confidence in individual freedom has resulted in a morally and socially undesirable distribution of wealth." He denounced what he called the chaotic individualism of our political and economic organization. He wanted to, and warned, that the control of wealth shouldn't depend on what he called the accidental good intentions of individuals, but rather should be efficiently performed by the state. And the Columbia University historian Charles Beard famously talked about the myth of rugged individualism, in which he said, "The cold truth is that the individualist creed is principally responsible for the distress in which Western civilization finds itself. The task before us, then, is not to furbish up an old slogan, but to get rid of it, to discover how much planning is necessary, by whom it can best be done." The progressive era then emerged as a time when an older version of the ownership society was discarded in favor of a collectivist vision of an expert-run administrative state. Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt contributed to this effort, as we know. America changed, and now the responsibility and diligence that harbors the ownership society are something that we have delegated to something other than the local subsidiary institutions. The results have not been entirely salutary. Discussing what these results were and understanding their sources are the first steps to fostering a return to an ownership society. And we have before us today three speakers who will help us in this endeavor. Our first speaker today is R.J. Pestrito. He's an associate professor of politics at the University of Dallas, where he teaches graduate and undergraduate courses in political philosophy, American politics, and American political thought. He's also a research fellow of the Claremont Institute for the Study of Statesmanship and Political Philosophy. And if you go to their webpage, he has a very good piece this past Wednesday that lays to rest all the questions about how you should think about the Harriet Myers nomination by referring it to the Federalist Papers 76 and 84. Dr. Pestrito's academic training took place at Claremont, California, where he earned a BA in government from Claremont McKenna College and the MA and PhD from the Claremont Graduate University. He is the author or editor of four books, most recently, Woodrow Wilson and the Roots of Modern Liberalism with Roman and Littlefield in their American Intellectual Cultural series. In this carefully researched book, he argues that throughout Woodrow Wilson's career as a scholar and a public figure, he remained consistently a progressive and an opponent of the American founding, rightly understood. So please join me in welcoming our first guest, R.J. Pestrito.